I want to get into this in our time of communion this morning. And I just, if you've been at BC, man, you know, communion is not a traditional thing. It's not because it's the first of the month. It happens to be the first of the month. But we just do communion when we just feel in our heart to really do communion. And it takes up a part of our service. And it's a part of the message portion of our time together as a community. And just, man, I don't want anyone to come in this place and say, well, let's just check the box to communion. It's what we do. Us to come to a place to understand these are the very words of Jesus, and he says, remember me. Don't just zip through it based off tradition. That's why we don't do it just on the first of the month, because it's not a traditional check the box thing, man. Jesus himself said, listen, remember me. Remember what it took. Remember I took the hit for you. Remember what it means to be saved. Remember what it means to be justified. Remember my body was broken for you. Remember my blood was the sacrifice that was poured out for your freedom and for your forgiveness. He says, don't ever forget it. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. The word remember, it means to go back to that place. Go back to that place where Jesus hung on the cross. To go back to that place where the Father turned his back on his Son as abandoning his own Son because his wrath was poured out on him so that it would never have to be poured out on us. And what it means to come to this place of communion today. I love this. Honestly, I've been up since 3:30 and just a sense of God that you move in this place today. Thank God there's going to be people here at the 11 o'clock service that they may be here for the first time. I don't know. But God, and I'm telling you, man, 3:30, I'm like, God, that you would do something amazing here today. God, that we would not miss what communion means. We wouldn't miss the reality of Jesus, what you said. Don't forget it. Remember what this means. This is so good. This is Romans 5 says this. It says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a powerful verse, man. It's a powerhouse verse. And it removes all excuse of, well, if you knew what I did, if you understood my past, if you knew my history as a sinner, if you knew the big capital S sins that I did before I knew the truth of God's word. And I love this because it just puts every single one of us on the same playing field. For all have sinned and fall short. We all swim in the same pond of sin. God says, I wasn't waiting for you to get right. I wasn't waiting for you to clean it up. God says, I loved you. And I demonstrated my love for you. In the midst of your dirt, in the midst of the sin, I sent my Son to die on a cross for you. Oh, that's so good. For much more haven't been justified, and the word justified means to be declared right, to be declared right, to be innocent. To be justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. And I love this. The word saved here means to be safe. Have you ever thought of what it really means to be safe? To be safe from the wrath of God. Man, I'm telling you, 3:30 this morning, I'm just, this is the picture that came to my heart when I'm going over safe. What's it look like to be safe? What's it mean to be saved? And we're supposed to remember what this looks like. To God, your wrath will never come on me because it hit your Son before it will ever touch me. And I am saved, which means I am safe. What does it do to your spirit when you know that you are safe? 3:30 this morning, I get this picture. Remember when you were playing as a kid and you had the backyard going and everybody was at your house and you're like, we're gonna play tag or whatever you called it, where we are declaring that the porch is safe. If you can make it to the porch, you're safe. And I'm telling you, it's 3:30 a.m., man. I'm just having a blast with me just remembering, you know, and they still do this even at Breakaway. which I still outrun the kids. It's great. They can't catch me at all. But when you have the porches safe, and then you're looking, and you're seeing in the dark, and you're seeing the porch, and you're like, I think I can make it, man. I think I don't see anybody. If I go straight and they've got an angle, I think I can beat them to the porch. And it's just, I mean, as a kid, you're working up anxiety, right? It's just like, I think I can make it. You're sweating. And you're like, man, if I don't, I get tagged and I'm out. Life over. I mean, this is the worst case scenario, right? Unless there's a girl involved and you block for the girl, right? And you tackle the dude so the girl gets safe, but then you're out and you're removed from the game and, you know, you're her hero and it was well worth being out, right? But it's all this anxiety and it's just like going crazy. But in reality, you know what came to me at 3:30 this morning is that moment reality, that moment that you, and as a kid, playing this silly game, the moment that you actually step foot on the porch and you knew I'm untouchable now, I'm safe, I'm secure. And reality, like you've been there, like all of that anxiety left because you made it to the porch and you were no longer worried about anybody chasing you down. You weren't worried about the person. You're on the porch and they're right there and you're like, ah, I'm safe. Can't touch me. But then I put it in communion today and I'm just like, God, that's us. We're safe. We're saved forever. And it drops. All anxiety of death, hell, and the grave can't touch me. I can stare you in the face and you can't touch me. Because I'm safe. Because I'm saved. And you come to that place to know this morning that when Jesus Christ hung on a cross, that was for you and that was for me. And that was to take out death, hell, and the grave. And that was to take out my sin and your sin. That gives us free access to stand before the throne, justified, to be declared right before God and innocent because you and I are safe, no longer ever concerned about the wrath of God. And it is coming. There is judgment that's coming for those who've rejected the truth and those who've said no to the freedom of the cross in Jesus Christ. There is judgment coming. But for those of us, please hear this, man. If you're in this place this morning and you don't know Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through Him. He Himself says you got to repent and you got to believe. You got to come to this place to repent from sin, realizing all sin, all fall under that destruction of death because of sin. And man, it's that repentance. It's that recognizing that sin separates me from God and sin actually equals death before holy God. But yet Jesus said, when you repent from sin, when you identify sin, when you turn away from sin and you believe in me, no other way, it's not religion, it's not your church attendance, it's not anything else except Jesus saying, when you trust and you believe in me by faith, and then when you confess, so you got repent, you got believe, and then you got surrender to confess that He is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved, rescued, delivered, or safe. And where are you in this morning? Come to a place? Have you repented from sin? Have you acknowledged sin has separated me? Have you called on Jesus' name? Have you come to that real place that Jesus saves? Jesus went to the cross. It has to be through the cross. It has to be through Him. It cannot be me being good enough. It can't be me being a good citizen. It can't be me being a good husband. It can't be me being a good father. It can't be me being somebody who's single, an individual, just being good. It can't be any of that. It has to be, Jesus, I recognize without you, I'm completely lost because of sin. But with you, I am safe. And it's only you. And I trust in you as Savior. And I call on your name for salvation. And it's only found in you. The reality is you can come to a place to believe here and now, even before communion, you come to a place. place to understand, man, I don't know if I'm in Christ. I don't know if I get the whole true picture of the cross. We're here, Jesus hung on a cross, and in that moment, we hear him cry out, my God, first time we ever see him not call or address his father, but in that moment, he addresses him as God, and in that moment, God's wrath is poured out on him because he takes on my sin and he takes on your sin. Remember that he became the one-time sacrifice that had to take place so that you and I could be saved. And I realized in that moment God turned his back on his own son. And so he wouldn't have to do it to me. That means I'm safe. That means I'm safe. And Jesus says, Sean, don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever forget what this means. I mean, if you're in this place and you don't know Christ, man, it's amazing that God set up the word for a child to get it. I get it. I'm a sinner and I'm separate from you, but man, you love me. You love me. And Jesus, you died for me. For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you will never perish. But you will have everlasting, eternal life forever with him, to be in his presence because of what he did for you. And it's that belief and it's that trust and it's calling on his name that you shall be saved. Come on, if you'd open the cups, please, and just take out the bread. And on the night that he was betrayed, this is Jesus speaking. He took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, please. In the same way, he took the cup. He said, there's a new covenant in my blood. And watch this, watch this. There's a new covenant in my blood. Here, Jesus is cutting a covenant with us, and it's a blood covenant. Watch this, a blood covenant cannot be reversed. A blood covenant can't be broken. He says, I'm making a covenant with you. And I'm cutting this in my blood. We sung about the beautiful name of Jesus. Amazing thing about Jesus, he will never, ever, not once, ever go back on his word. Ever. I have cut a covenant with you. And I've made it a blood covenant. And in this, you are forgiven. In the shedding of my blood, you are free. You are forgiven. You are justified. And I love it because he says, as often as you do this, that means today, now. So don't ever forget. Saved because of you and only because of you, because of the work of the cross, because of the sacrifice that you put yourself on a tree for me, took my place. And I am now forever safe. From the moment of my belief, I am safe. I'm safe. Continuing in, when God leans in, it's going to be a great message. It's going to be maybe a part of me just through this week of studying and preparing and praying, and just even part of me couldn't sleep, just get up at 3:30 and just so much on my heart. And I don't want to really say a heaviness, but this is one of those words that you need to be ready to hear. You need to be ready to say, I agree. Because it's one of those tough deals where where, and it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I had one message title picked out. Message titles are important to me. They kind of, I like to sum up the whole, if you walk out of this place and say, man, that whole message is a one sentence, that's a success for me, man. That's good preaching. Everybody say good preaching. Okay, I feel good now. I'm good. So I like my titles, and I pray over them. It was really speaking in a sense of, you know, behind the scenes was the first title. Had that written down, behind the scenes. Because there's so many times that God works behind the scenes, and there's times that we may know the end result. Maybe years down the road of what was taking place behind the scenes, we couldn't get it. I didn't understand it. I don't know what's happening. Why is this taking place? But there's something that God is always doing behind the scenes. Great title, not today's title. And I kind of landed on this because this is the whole deal, is when trust is enough. Watch this, when trust is enough. Because what happens, church, when we've come to this place for 2 weeks now, this is the third week, first week, we really talked about when God leans in. That's the series title. And to know, when I cry out to him, Psalm 116, 1 and 2, man, I love the Lord because he hears me. And he inclines his ear to me when I cry out to him. And because of this, I will pray all the days of my life. Wow, when you come to realize it's absolutely true that when I begin to cry out to him, he hears me. I know that he hears me. And we talked about Jesus saying, come again, I'll hear you. Come again, I'll hear you. Come again, I'll hear you. Don't lose heart. So we do that. We do that. And it's a great promise. And we're coming in knowing that he inclines his ear. He leans in because he's showing interest in me. Last week, powerhouse message on this from Philippians 4. When we really understand, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request and your supplication be made known to God. And then God, I love it, God's peace will come in a supernatural way. Not my peace, but God's peace that passes all understanding. It will guard your hearts and mind in Christ. Powerhouse message to realize, man, I'm called to even not be anxious for anything, but to just present it to him because I know that he hears me. I know that he's leaning in. He's interested in what I have to say, even though he already knows what I'm going to say in advance. He already knows what I need, but yet he's shown me that he's interested in everything that I have to say, and then I can have this supernatural peace, and it's a beautiful thing. And we listen, watch this. We all know how to handle his yeses. We all know how that we can rejoice and be so thankful and give a testimony. I prayed for this and God answered. I prayed for healing and I am healed. I prayed for this bill to be paid and it was just supernatural, even to the absolute penny, that someone who didn't know anything about my circumstance wrote me a check because they believed God spoke into their heart and it was the exact penny. And it's just miracle after miracle and it's amazing. And we come and we give testimony and we praise and we worship and we're thankful and we know how to respond to his yeses. But can we handle it when he says no? But how do you handle it when he says not now? Watch this, man. How do you handle it when it doesn't go the way you thought it should go? It didn't go to your benefit. And listen, this is a maturity test. This is not a longevity of how long you've been in church, because I know people who've been in church all their life and they still walk in a very immature baby way. But I've seen people who I love and admire and people who I look up to in their seasoned relationship with Christ, where they've walked through the most difficult things, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's the loss of a husband premature or a wife premature, or it's loss of how tragic it would be to lose a child through accident or tragedy, even the hurt and brokenness of miscarriage. And I've seen people who I admire walk through these things with such seasoned relationship with God, where they, honestly, they had to come to a place just to say, my trust has to be enough. But I don't know why. Church, that's difficult for me because I sit down with these people and I love these people, and they come in through with just hurt and pain and brokenness of crying out to God in real. And this is no game. We want to be real with our relationship with God, and we want to be real before God and not fake it. We go through difficult things and difficult seasons where it just didn't go my way. Sometimes the honest answer is, I don't know why. But I know that in your walk, trust has to be enough. To walk in and trust Him, say, your ways are not my ways. Your ways are higher than my ways. I can't think like you. My mind isn't anything like yours. I don't see the end, but you do. God, I know that in Scripture, there's so many stories that you work behind the scenes that we may never know what was going on. It may be something that takes place 50 years down the road, but it was this who sparked. And there's just story after story that you have to, in the hurt and in the brokenness and in the pain, you have to dig down in your soul and say, trust is just enough. It's difficult to really get into a real prayer series and always just talk about just the yeses. Unfortunately, maybe you've caught in some teaching that says God will always grant you what you want. Or even the worst case scenario, when you are walking in faith and you are serving the God and you're not walking in sin and you're standing firm on your faith, and some horrible misrepresentation, the truth shows up and say, well, you just don't have enough faith for that. That's horrible. That's horrible. Because maybe it's just a no. And maybe we never know why. Maybe our faith is intact and our faith is strong and we are walking in a manner worthy of Him and we're honoring Him and we're glorifying Him and we just don't know why, but God said no. I don't know why, but God didn't heal. I don't know why, but my child has to suffer. I don't know why. We could go down this whole long list of I don't knows until you just land to a place to say, I just have to believe that trusting in Him is going to get me through. Come on, turn me to Matthew, please, 26, because we're going to see this right from Jesus, and then we're going to talk about Paul. And again, you sense this, man. It's going in a very real direction this morning. Because we even see with Jesus where this is that moment that he's in the garden, man. That's the moment that Jesus, who is the Son of God, Jesus, who is His only beloved Son, cries out to the Father something and there's just no answer. Come on, how much more? It's just, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came on purpose to the earth in absolute perfection and innocence. And here we see Him in a garden. This is a very real moment. Church, what happens when you understand there's very real moments in life? And in the losses, and in the victories, in the wins, in the hurts. What happens when we say, my soul is yet going to rise up to bring Him glory? We see this in Matthew 26. You've got Jesus. This is the end of the road on His journey. He's coming to the close a couple hours before the arrest. He knows everything is going to take place. And He says this. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Verse 38. And He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Luke tells a different picture, that He is so distraught and He's so broken, that He's so grieved that He begins to bleed His sweat like drops of blood. So much so that Luke tells us that angels have to come down. Watch a scene. Angels have to come down and just begin to minister to Jesus. You're going to have to get through this. You're going to have to go forward. Can't stop now. Look at what he says. This is what Jesus says. And he's hurting. And Jesus is broken. And he's grieving so much so that his soul is at a place that he's ready to die. Death means death. And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." The American Standard has a semicolon, which means wait. There's a pause. "Father, if it is possible." Come on, Dad, if it's possible, would you let this cup pass from me? Church, don't mistake this for the pain of the crucifixion. That was second day business. Man, it happened all the time. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about for the one time and forever in all of eternity that he has to be separate from his Father. That relationship is broken because of sin. Because God is a holy God and he cannot stand sin and he hates sin and he is pure. And when my sin and your sin fell upon his Son, the God Almighty who is holy had to turn his back and abandon and break fellowship with his Son. This is what Jesus is talking about. I know that's coming. Is there any other way? Pause. And amazing that the Father doesn't even answer. "Not my will, let your will be done." He goes to his disciples and he comes back a second time with the same request. "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it." And he comes again in the request, "Let your will be done in this, but is there any other way?" Round two. Again, no answer. This is God the Father and the Son. This is Jesus. No answer from the Father. "Find your will be done." The Bible says he comes a third time. Can we just stop for a minute? Do we believe that the Father heard him on the first time? Do you believe that God heard you the first time? Based on what we've already been teaching? Yes, he hears us. Yes, he leans in. Then there's those moments. Even Jesus came a third time. Is there any other way? And yet after three times, we see no answer. We see angels showing up going, "Man, I know it's tough. I don't know what they said, but I imagine when they were encouraging him, they weren't encouraging him saying, 'It's okay, step back from this. It's okay.' No, come on, you got to press in. Jesus, this is the deal. You got to step forward. You're not quitting now. You're not stopping. Listen, this is the deal. You need to be built up. You need to have the strength to get through this. You need to get the strength to get to that cross." They began to encourage him. And the word encourage, it means to build up. And watch this. They weren't telling him, "It's okay. God doesn't love you. He didn't hear you. Your Father fell asleep. He didn't know what was going on." Stay in there. Hang tough. Step forward. And then we see him, Paul. I love this story. It's in Corinthians. You got Paul who had to come to a place to say, trust has to be enough. You see where he went through just crazy persecution, man. He was beaten times without number. He can't even count how many times he'd been. He don't even know how many times he got hit. He was hit so many times he was just silly and lost track. The Bible says that he was whipped 5 times, 39 times each. Could you imagine different periods in your life being whipped 5 times with 39 lashes? He was beaten in the head with a little baseball bat. This is Paul. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was all alone. But it's amazing because I don't see Paul trying to get out of that. Read the New Testament. You don't see Paul going, "Take this persecution." You know, matter of fact, you see Paul telling us to join him in the suffering. He's not trying to get out of it. My goodness, he takes a beating, gets thrown in jail, and he's in praise and worship. It's crazy. So you don't see where Paul's like, "Take me out of these beatings. Get me off of this persecution." No, he says, listen, Sean, join me in the persecution. It's a real treat, man. But he gets punched and he gets persecuted and he finds himself in jail and he just begins to praise God. But what we see in 2 Corinthians 12 is when he said, listen, I've got this thorn in my side. And his thorn is a messenger of Satan and it just torments me. We don't know what it is. It doesn't say. Cannot speculate. Have no idea. You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. But it was something where the Bible says he came to him. Would you take this thing from me? This thing is hurting me. Listen, you don't see this when he's getting punched in the face. You don't see this when he's getting whipped and shredded. You don't see this when, not through the persecution, but there was something that was a thorn in his side. There was something that was a messenger of Satan. There was something that tormented him. And in this, he's saying, come on, God, please take this. The Bible says that he implored the Lord to take this from him. Would you please take this? I can't handle this. I can't get through this. I can't wake up in the morning. I can't go to sleep at night. Would you please take this from me? Comes the Lord once. Comes the Lord a second time. Hey, I don't know if I need to speak louder, but I'm begging you again. Would you please take this? I know that you heard me the first time, but I didn't get rid of this thing. You haven't taken this thing from me yet. This is tormenting me day and night. This is a messenger of Satan. It's a thorn in my side. Would you please take this thing? Nothing. Comes back a third time. I don't know what's happening. But I'm begging you, please. Would you please take this from me? And then Jesus speaks one word, one sentence to him. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Watch this. For power is perfected. To a place in all of his journey. 2 Corinthians is towards middle to end of his journey. And he's saying, I can't ditch this thing. Why is this on me? And Jesus speaks a word and says, listen, my grace is enough. Know why. We know there's a purpose, but we don't know why he didn't take it away. We don't know the end result. We know that he dealt with this thing, and he dealt with this thing, and he dealt with this thing, and he dealt with this hurt, and he dealt with this pain. And Jesus said, listen, this is what I need. Paul, I need you to rely on me. I need you and your trust to be enough for me, even when I say no. How do you handle his no's? Because it can go one or two ways. We can come to a place, and I've seen both, where you lean in. You lean into his no to say, I don't get it. I'm in pain, and I hurt. My heart is broken. But I trust you. My trust in you has got to be enough to get me through. Why? Because your grace is sufficient for me. And in this, power, watch this now. Power is strengthened in weakness. Power is perfected or made complete in weakness. Man, when I'm weak, then I'm made strong. And when I understand I can't rely on me, but I have to trust in you. And in that, there is something that's going to bubble up within me. There's something that's going to move within my spirit that, man, even in my weakness, man, I'm made strong. Even in my weakness, I'm becoming complete. Even in my weakness, man, there's things that are becoming full circle. I don't get it, but it's happening. Come on, give them praise, church. Yes. That's what this is. And in that, there's things that are going to boil up in you. And there's this strength, a supernatural strength that's going to come. And it's no when you press in to say, my trust has to be enough. I don't know why, but I trust him. Or the other result is that sense of bitterness, that sense of anger, that sense of fall away. The drifting begins to take place. Well, he didn't hear me, or he didn't answer my cry, or I lost a loved one, or I lost a child, or I lost a pregnancy, or I lost, and all of those are real, and all of those are painful. And we don't come in that place to say, my trust in you, it has to be the foundation. It has to be enough, for your grace is going to see me through. Your grace is going to bubble in me, and there is going to be the strength in me. Church, please hear this. If you don't walk in that way, there will be a drift, and there will be bitterness, and there will be anger. We come to a place that I want to be that seasoned follower of Christ, that even when he says, no, I can handle it. It'll hurt. I'm going to need people to surround me. I need people to pray for me. I need people to encourage me. That's called church and community. But his grace is enough. Because when I'm weak, there's something amazing that takes place. But I'm becoming mature in his strength. Maybe you felt like you blamed God for a hard time. Maybe you felt like there's this bitterness or this anger because it didn't go your way. And it's not because you're in sin. It's not because you lack faith. It's because for this particular reason he said no. Or in this particular case he said no without giving you a reason. Can I ask you, is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to do that? He did it with his own son. What happened? When you say, man, it is just, I have to trust you. Trust has to be enough. Trust has to be enough. I don't know why. And I may never know why. But I believe you work behind the scenes. And I believe you have your purpose and you have your reason. And in the loss and in the victory, I want my soul to bubble up and grip and bring you glory. Father, we just, oh God, I just ask that you would move in this place right now in these hearts that are so vulnerable and so open right now, God. That they'd begin to just say in their hearts, trust is enough. I want to be able to handle the no's. I want to be able to. God, I want you to trust me in the hard times. I want you to be able to trust me in the tragic times, in the loss of life. When the loss column is building up more than the win column, God, I want you to trust me. I'll just say, God, I don't need to know why. I don't know why. But trust is enough. Trust is enough. Lord, I'm asking in that moment, God, there will be something supernatural that takes place. That God, there will be this power that begins to be perfected and complete in our weakness. For your grace is significant. Your grace is enough. And in our weakness, complete your power in us. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, amen.